Good morning, and welcome to the April 15th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, April 16th, 2026. Let's start off with community news from Tolono, where the Historical Society and the Veterans Museum are celebrating. We have much we would like to accomplish before our nation's semi-quincentennial to celebrate America's independence, along with Tolono Fun Day, scheduled for June 27th, with a parade and an open house. Here's a brief planning summary. The theme of Tolono's 2026 Fun Day is Celebrating America's 250th. On Wednesday, May 20th, Saved by the Bell is the subject of Coffee Talk at 9 a.m. at the Tolono Public Library with guest speaker Jane Faust. This will be hosted by the Tolono Historical Society. You'll find out ways that the bell connects with the Revolutionary War. Bring a bell to show and tell. We're hoping for a large variety of bells to display for the morning hour. And don't miss the nationwide bell ringing on July 4th, 2026 at 3 p.m. Central Time. June 14th is Flag Day. Fly your flag. Let everyone know that you're proud of the freedom you have in the USA. On Saturday, June 17th, Fun Day 2026, the Fun Day Committee honors the Tolono Historical Society and Veterans Museum by inviting the Society members to be Grand Marshals. The Society has a wonderful surprise in store for you. Representing the Society in the red convertible will be seated Mr. and Mrs. George and Martha Washington. Our first president and his wife will be portrayed by two Unity graduates, both members of the Tolono Historical Society. They both have a passion for Revolutionary War history and will symbolize one of the most exemplary colonial presidential couples in the United States. Additionally, members let us know by April 30th if you would like to join other members to ride in an extended golf cart in the parade. We'll have flags for you to wave, and you may wear a 1776 period costume or red, white, and blue of your choice. All we need is for you to say yes. Please let Susan Plankett know by April 30th at this website, which is... It's an email address, Tolono Historical Treasurer. That's all one word, Tolono Historical Treasurer at gmail.com. More details will come later. If you'd like to become a member to receive the newsletter and all the information going on about the Historical Society, contact Susan at the same email address I just gave you. Once again, it's Tolono Historical Treasurer, all one word, at gmail.com. Also, on June 27th, Fun Day, the Tolono Historical Museum will be open from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for an open house viewing, plus watching the parade together as a group. Bring your lawn chairs and drinks and come join us on the corner. What does Champaign County have that represents 250 years of freedom? No revolutionary battles were fought here. No declarations of independence were signed here. No paths of great significance were forged here during the American Revolutionary War 250 years ago. In fact, we did not exist. But we do have a connection through the people themselves. If we gather all of your family trees, weaving their way back to the revolution, they would show a significant number of ancestors who fought in the Revolutionary War battles from 1775 to 1783 and served as patriots. So this is your challenge. You have 3 months to put together a family tree to display with your line leading back to an American Revolutionary patriot. Come listen to the Wednesday, July 1st, Tolono Public Library Coffee Talk program with the Champaign County Genealogical Society at 9 a.m. at the Tolono Public Library. Following the talk, the Tolono Historical Society will be displaying your Revolutionary War family tree charts for viewing. Please make sure that your chart is labeled with your contact information. Watch for more details. Come and be a part of America's 250th. Another item of great interest will celebrate America's 250th with an art scrapbook. Paint or draw a picture, write an essay or a poem. In whatever manner you may consider that art, you can create a Revolutionary War America 250 art piece for a scrapbook to be kept at the Tolono Museum. Your art must fit flat into a plastic sleeve that holds no larger than an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. Your art must be original and signed by you. And watch this column for more details. Consider these words. Take ownership. Even citizens who think they own very little in these, the United States of America, they do own freedoms rooted in the Constitution and American principles. We own choice, self-determination, and economic opportunity. We have freedom of speech and worship. We have the ability to pursue personal success, education, and political participation. We're fortunate to live in the United States of America, where opportunities do exist. Do not take our freedoms lightly. Early colonial patriots fought for our freedoms, and the least we can do is to honor those who sacrificed for us. Take ownership of our freedom. And in more news from the very busy Tolono Library, they are celebrating National Poetry Month and National Library Week. So, this week at the library, we're kicking off National Library Week with a celebration of poetry. On Saturday, April 18th, from noon to 2 p.m., we invite you to come to the Tolono Public Library and share your favorite poem. Whether that is a poem by your favorite author or one you have written yourself, step up to the mic during our Poetry Slam celebration and share poetry with the community. The poetry celebration will kick off with local poet Ariana Cherry, who will be sharing some of her published works with you. And what goes better with poetry than coffee or tea? The first 35 people who step up to the mic and share a poem with us will receive a token for a free drink from Travelin' Tom's Coffee Truck, which will be at our event from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Send us an RSVP and let us know that you plan to attend by calling the library or visiting their website, which is tolonolibrary.org, and look for the link to events. Tolono Library is all one word. April 19th to the 25th is National Library Week. The theme this year is Find Your Joy, and you can celebrate with us all week by participating in our dress-up days. Monday, April 20th, is Right to Read Day, and we're dressing as our favorite book characters. Tuesday, April 21st, is National Library Workers Day. We invite you to dress for your dream job. Also on Tuesday, join us in the evening to make your own plantable bookmarks. We'll make our own paper and combine it with wildflower seeds. After they dry overnight, they're ready to be picked up on Earth Day. Wednesday, April 22nd, that's a Wednesday, is National Outreach Day and Earth Day. Dress in your plant print clothing. Thursday, April 23rd, is Take Action for Libraries Day. Dress in your favorite superhero shirt or complete costume. The Friends of the Tolono Library will be taking action by having a planter sale and decorating day from 3 to 6 p.m. Stop into the library, decorate your own pot, and even leave with a seed planted in it. To close out National Library Week on Friday, April 24th, we'll have Find Your Joy in the Library by dressing in our library's colors of red, blue, or yellow. We hope to have you join us and celebrate with us for National Poetry Month and National Library Week. In more community news, Catholic Charities of Champaign and Piatt Counties had their advisory board meeting on April 7th with Jan Blaney as a special guest. She is coordinator for the St. Patrick's Pantry and Senior Luncheon. In March, a dozen volunteers provided 70 hours of service to help 61 families, seven of them new. Donations from the Meal Connect program and stores like Dollar General and Philo, Tolono, and Villa Grove, as well as the Aldi's of Savoy, gave 2,781 pounds of food. Eastern Illinois Food Bank donated 3,891 pounds of food. St. Patrick's, St. Thomas, and St. Matthew's parishioners also gave to the pantry, as well as several local families. This allowed 22 families to come to 304 East Vine Street in Tolono several times for a total of 108 visits to the pantry. That also distributed 15 Easter dinner boxes and Easter baskets on March 30th. Other local sources giving donations included The Giving Place, the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen, Divine Mercy Prayer Group, the Knights of Columbus in Philo, the Piatt County Pantry in Monticello, and the Unity Rocket Locker. The senior luncheon on March 11th at St. Patrick's Parish Center had 34 attending with a bingo game after lunch and cake for Alvin Decker's 100th birthday. Five others celebrated their birthdays with 20 door prizes distributed. Anyone over 55 years old is welcome to come, bring a side to share, and $3 to participate in this community event on the second Wednesday of every month, with coffee hour beginning at 10:30 a.m. and the potluck luncheon starting at 11:30 a.m. On Tuesday, April 8th, radio personality Diane Ducey was the moderator for the Driving Miss Daisy-themed program, as Adam Carlson with Adams Automotive in Tolono, along with Dana Williamson, Carl Community Health, and Tolono Police Chief Justin Levingston, answering questions about staying safe on the road as elderly citizens. Some of the topics that came up included questions about the law, maintenance of vehicles, road rage, times to travel and routes, tips on being prepared, and having a backup plan to get to appointments, as well as how to handle a crisis. Attendees really appreciated the program being put together by Jan Blaney with her husband Bob at registration and kitchen assistance from St. Patrick's parishioners Kim McAvoy and Marlene Breen, who is also president of the Altar and Rosary Society, as well as Joanne Millsap, who made an announcement at the gathering about her husband Ray Millsap's celebration of life coming up on Saturday, April 18th. Next up, we have some very fun news from the Philo Public Library, which is hosting an exhibit until the middle of May displaying the bottle people that were created by kids from St. Thomas Parish. And they begin, "Welcome to the Philo Public Library's special spring event, and we hope that we can share the St. Thomas bottle people with all of you. Each year we write about how great the kids did on this special project and then tell you to come, invite we're inviting you over to check them out. This year, we decided to send pictures of all of the bottle people to the newspaper, so we do hope you can look at a hard copy or online edition to see what kinds of bottle people were created by the kids. They include Jane Goodall, complete with a camera and an ape, as well as Steven Spielberg, Princess Diana, Amelia Earhart, and Marie Antoinette. We also have bottle people showing Alexander Hamilton, Walt Disney, Neil Armstrong, and Leonardo da Vinci. But there's more. There are also bottle people representing General Douglas MacArthur, Marco Polo, Bill Clinton, and Martin Luther King. The kids learned about each of the characters that they chose to create and listed some important information about each individual that you can enjoy as you look at the bottle people. We're pleased to have these creatures on exhibit from now until mid-May, and if you'd like to take a closer look, please come and see them. They're really a hoot. We added some new books this past week, including C.J. Box's work, The Crossroads, which is a Joe Pickett novel, Petra Lord's Queen of Faces, which is a fantasy book, and South of Somewhere by T.I. Lowe. This is a new Southern writer that we've not read before, but it's next on our list to check out. I think there should be more new books next week, so please don't forget to look for the Philo Libraries column again next week. Until then, come see our bottle people, come see us, come read our books at the Philo Public Library. Next up, we have the Rocket Rundown by Olivia Withrift, featuring our prep athletics. All sports this week spent their Saturday in Carterville. Baseball from Unity was really on it this week with three games and a doubleheader on Saturday. On Monday, the team took on the Panthers, and the Rockets came out 8-2, which set them up for a great game against Okaw Valley the following day. Unity defeated Okaw Valley 15-0. The next day, they took on the undefeated Sages from Monticello. The game was well played, but the Rockets took a loss on this 7-9. The team bounced back quickly for their doubleheader against Carterville on Saturday. Their first game, the Rockets won 8-5. They must have picked up on some of the Lions' moves because the next game they won 9-3. Next week they start out against Mahomet on Monday. Tuesday they play PBL, and on Friday they play Mattoon. Softball also had three games and two games in Carterville this week. On Monday, they took on Rochester. They started the week rough with an 11-1 loss. Normal Community on Tuesday went much better than Monday's game. The Rockets won over the Knights 7-5. They had a conference game on Thursday against the Monticello Sages. The Rockets won a very close game 4-3, sending them to Carterville with good vibes. Their first game Saturday was against Carbondale. They won 9-6, but to beat number one ranked Carterville, they would need more. Both teams played an intense game. The final score was 0-1, with the Lions leading the Rockets to their second loss that week. Next week they have three games and then a multiple game day on Saturday. They first play Champaign Central on Tuesday, then PBL Thursday, and finally Paris on Friday. On Saturday, they'll play in Tutopolis. Both boys and girls were expected to have a meet against Clinton, but it was canceled. The only meet for this week was the Carterville Invite, the first outdoor meet of the season. The girls really stole the show at this meet. Emma Swisher won both the 100 and 200-meter events. Mackenzie Pound also placed first in the 3200, as well as Camden Fairbanks placing first in the 1600. Eli Crow also competed in the 3200 and took first. The girls 4x100 and boys 4x800 both took first. In field events, Kendall Zarusen placed first in pole vault and shot put, and Jillian Schlitter placed first in long jump. This Friday, the boys will attend the Monticello Sages invite, while the girls host an invite at Unity. Go Rockets! In another sports note, brought to us by Diane Ducey, in downtown Philo, ESPN 93.5 Radio Studios, Stevie J and Diane Ducey presented Kale Zaire from Fisher with a signed Keaton Wagler jersey. The 19-year-old freshman on the Illini Final Four team declared that he'll go into the NBA draft on April 11th. And next up, we have the Sydney Scoop, brought to us by Ann Roten. The state of, and she has a number of meeting announcements, starting with the State of Illinois Women's Christian Temperance Union meeting will take place on Saturday, April 18th at 10 a.m. at the Coles County Memorial Airport, located at 432 Airport Road in Mattoon, on Route 16 between Mattoon and Charleston. A program will be presented by a variety of speakers. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at the Post Home at 221 South David Street in Sydney on Monday, April 20th at 6 p.m. The Sydney Lions Club will host their 67th annual Donations Accepted Fish Fry on Saturday, May 2nd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. The Sydney Lions Club will also be giving the community an opportunity to purchase Sydney Lions Club 2026 Christmas Cash and New Year's Dash raffle tickets at the Fish Fry. Tickets are $10 each and can be purchased at the Fish Fry from Sydney Lions Club members. The inaugural Sydney Spring Fling event, brought to you by the Goose and the Gander and the Sydney Improvement Group, will take place on South David Street in downtown Sydney on Saturday, May 9th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The event will take place the day before Mother's Day, so vendors can focus on gifts for mom and more. And from Ann Roten and all the folks in Sydney, they wish us all a wonderful week. And next up, we have some good advice as we go into the spring planting season on how to keep our indoor air clean of allergens. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America reports that 8 out of 10 people are exposed to dust mites and 6 out of 10 are exposed to cat or dog dander. Dust mites and pet dander can each trigger allergic reactions. Pair these two triggers with higher pollen counts, which are common in spring and summer, along with agricultural practices, and it's no wonder that many seasonal allergy sufferers are ambivalent about the warm weather season. Fortunately, steps can be taken to keep indoor air clean during allergy season, and they begin with closing our windows and doors. Pollen and dust can attach to furniture and clothing, and that can make time indoors unpleasant for allergy sufferers. Use air cleaning devices if you can. The Allergy and Asthma Foundation notes that air cleaners with certified asthma and allergy-friendly filters can filter nearly 98% of allergen particles in the air. The Allergy and Asthma Foundation maintains a list of certified air cleaners at their website, which is asthmaandallergyfriendly.com. Keep a clean home. The AAFA recommends keeping surfaces in a home clean and uncluttered to control dust mites. Washing bedding and uncovered pillows in hot water each week can also help to corral dust mites and improve indoor air quality. And always be sure to vacuum frequently. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation maintains a list of certified asthma and allergy-friendly vacuums that have been tested and found to prevent allergens from re-entering the air. And lastly, be sure to prevent mold and treat areas where infestations have occurred. Dehumidifiers can be used to reduce mold and dust mites, making these beneficial additions to allergy sufferers' homes. Minimizing house plants around the house and addressing leaky fixtures immediately are some additional measures to prevent mold infestations this spring. And from the Allergy and Asthma Foundation, they wish us a healthy season. And next up, we have news from the Illinois Housing Council, which is urging an extension and an expansion of proven affordable housing tax credits. As Illinois continues to face a severe shortage of affordable housing, the Illinois Housing Council is urging lawmakers to advance House Bill 4413 and Senate Bill 3738, sponsored by State Representative Dagmara Avalar and State Senator Mike Porfirio, to both extend and expand the Illinois Affordable Housing Tax Credit, a long-standing bipartisan program that has helped create and preserve tens of thousands of affordable homes across the state. Illinois currently faces a shortfall of nearly 300,000 affordable rental homes for its lowest-income residents. Rising construction costs, higher interest rates, and limited public resources have made it increasingly difficult to bring affordable housing developments to completion, even when federal funding is available. For more than two decades, the Illinois Affordable Housing Council has helped bridge that gap by encouraging private donations of cash, land, and buildings to nonprofit affordable housing developers. In return, donors receive a state tax credit equal to 50% of the value of their donation, allowing affordable for sale and rental housing developments to move forward that otherwise would not be financially feasible. Since its creation, the Illinois Affordable Housing Council has leveraged more than $510 million in private donations to support affordable home ownership and rental housing in nearly every region of Illinois. Developments supported by the credit include new construction, rehabilitation, and preservation in urban, suburban, and rural communities alike. This program works because it turns private investment into real housing outcomes, said Allison Clements, executive director of the Illinois Housing Council. The Illinois Affordable Housing Council is not an abstract policy tool. It produces homes, stabilizes neighborhoods, and strengthens local economies. House Bill 4413 and Senate Bill 3738 would extend the Illinois Affordable Housing Council for another 10 years, providing the long-term certainty that developers and donors need to plan and finance housing. And it would also increase the program's annual growth rate from 5% to 10%. That modest adjustment would significantly expand the program's impact while keeping state costs low, allowing Illinois to unlock far more private capital for every public dollar invested. The Illinois Affordable Housing Council is allowed to expire, if it is allowed to expire at the end of this year. Developments currently in planning will stall, preservation efforts will slow, and Illinois' housing shortage will worsen, especially in rural and small market communities with fewer financing options. The financial consequences are significant. An estimated $40 million in lost donation tax credits would result in the loss of $80 million in private donations and transfer fees. Illinois would also lose the leverage the program provides, potentially another $15 million or more, each year in private capital for affordable housing. This concludes our reading of the April 15th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.